Okay, is that working now? Brilliant, brilliant. I've got the thumbs up. There's less panic at the back. Fantastic, thank you. Well, welcome everyone to our service this morning, and hope you are all well out there in Zoom land. It's really odd standing here because I can see some cameras and just a few people, but I can't see any of you, and I hope you can see each other. Now, if you are young, or possibly young at heart, you might be aware that we sent around an email during the week with a word search and an invitation to any of the youngsters to bring sheep or crowns and come ready, because today's theme is partly around sheep and shepherds, but also in the same breath, thinking about God as king. So king and shepherd. I brought this sheep. I'm assured it's definitely a sheep and not a puppy or a cat, but it's a sheep. And I don't know if any of you at home have got sheep, which you're showing to your screens, or you've done pictures, or you're wearing crowns. But just want you to think this morning, before you disappear and draw or paint or run around the house causing chaos, just think about God as our shepherd gathering us together like we are little sheep, but also God with a crown on, God as our king. And we're going to watch a video this morning, so let's join in the video, and then I'll hand over to Rachel to lead us in some more worship. But then during the rest of the service, if you want to be just thinking about God as a king and God as a shepherd, and enjoy.
Shepherd, everywhere I go, he knows. Baba, he is my savior, I will follow where he goes. Jesus loves me, finds me, cares for me, watches, saves me, leads back home. Baba, he's the good shepherd. Where I go, he knows. Baba, he is my savior. I will follow where he goes. I was so lost. Where do I begin? He paid the cost for my sin. Baba, he's the good shepherd. Everywhere I go, he
about, oh, sheep, counting sheep and feeling a bit sleepy. No, not really. I'm going to read before we sing our next song. By the way, if you are about to think of running around the house, then don't just yet, because the next two songs are really upbeat and you could jump around and dance and sing with us. So, but this first song is really taken from some of the ideas in the book of Revelation, which is kind of many images really of heaven and the time when Jesus will come again to rule and reign fully. And just one of those little sections is in chapter 5, starting at verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. So let's come. We have come into this place and all the places where you are. We're here to worship Jesus.
Jesus reigns forevermore.
Jesus
child, forgiven son, because of Jesus. And I will sing my songs to love, calling out across the earth, the King has come, the King of love has come. And troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be
into the world, that you've come into our hearts, into our lives. And Lord, we bow before your love and your grace. We just lay our lives before you, Lord, and offer to you all that we are. And we ask, dear Lord, that you make us clean again this day. Make us new, renew us. Inspire us. Forgive us, Lord, where we've failed, where we've gone wrong, where we've thought wrongly, where we've maybe withheld saying things we should have. Lord, all the ways that we fall short, we ask your forgiveness and we ask you to lift us up again. And we just continue on now to worship you, to honour you as our beautiful Saviour, wonderful Counsellor. Lord, we long to live lives full of worship to you.
In the
Savior, wonderful Counselor, Lord in majesty, Lord of history, Lord of way, the truth, the light, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign. In majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the light, star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign over
all. Got two readings this morning. Our first reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, chapter 34, beginning at verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for the sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and bless us and encourage us and excite us through these words. Amen. So, what is the job of a preacher? Is it to help explain scripture, to see how it applies to our daily life and mission, to communicate and share excitement for God's words? Well, probably all of these things and more. But today, I want to focus on sharing excitement. As the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 103, your words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's a great image for anyone who likes honey. It brings sweetness, delight to the taste buds. It transforms toast and butter into a feast. It brings joy to porridge. It comforts you with lemon and ginger. It sustains you with energy for long walks, and it leaves you wanting more and looking forward to the next time. And isn't that what God's word is like? Let's not worry about dissecting it too much. Just enjoy the flow of it over you as you read it and as you listen to it. And I'd encourage you to go back to both these passages and read them again. Because the word of God is simply a love letter to his world, to us. It's for us to savor, to sustain, and to energize. So I could tell you about Ezekiel and his background as an exile with his people living in Babylon and longing to go home. I could tell you that he is the first of the prophets to really wrestle with Israel's identity as God's people when they were no longer in the promised land of Israel or had access to the temple in Jerusalem, where they believed God's presence was felt in a particularly strong and special way. I could tell you about the shift towards a theology that is more focused on inward change and relationship with God than on outward rituals and proximity to particular places. I could even tell you how Ezekiel's book moves from everything that was wrong about Israel's relationship with God and towards everything that God planned to do to rescue his people in spite of themselves. The first 33 chapters of Ezekiel are quite hard going, but fortunately, where we started in chapter 34, things are beginning to pick up a bit. But actually, let's just spend a moment enjoying this wonderful image of our God as a concerned and dedicated shepherd whose only priority is his sheep. When we as 21st century Christians think of a shepherd, we probably first think of Jesus as the good shepherd, and of the shepherds who were first to be invited to see the newborn Jesus, having been somewhat woken up by a whole crowd of loud angels. Yet the image is a significant one in the Old Testament too. David was a shepherd and became Israel's greatest king. And God, here in Ezekiel, is described as Israel's good shepherd who will bring his sheep back together and will judge between good and evil. And this is such a contrast with the prevailing social image of shepherds. They were low class, dirty, smelly peasants who decent people wouldn't associate with. Having been a farmhand myself, I can identify with that, particularly the smelly bit. But generally, these are people who, whilst doing essential farming labour, were better off out of sight and out of mind. But isn't it exciting that these are the very people who our awesome and perfect God decides to positively associate himself and his son with, and from whose ranks he drew King David. So kingship and peasant labour combined in this remarkable and very visual contrast as we see our God embracing all of humanity and creation. And if that isn't enough to get us excited this morning, let's look again at the Ephesians reading, in which we once again see the majesty and power of God expressed through the humble and frankly disastrous. His son Jesus, who is himself from humble origins and is then murdered by the authorities, but is raised to life and displayed as saviour of the world, fulfilling in himself the words of Ezekiel, looking forward to a new prince in the line of King David. On top of that, see how Paul starts this passage 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I sometimes wonder how Paul would address a letter to St. John's. Do you? I hope it would be like this and would be as affirming and simple. Paul manages to be really positive, but also at the same time encapsulates the whole basis of church life in a sentence, which is pretty good going for Paul. There are two strands to church life captured here for us. There's faith in Jesus and love for all God's people, with the emphasis on all. Isn't that brilliant? All we need to do is ensure that we are faithful to Jesus and trust in him, and out of that show his love to all people. And in that way, Paul says, we become his body. So we have two Bible passages this morning which would seem to have very little to connect them, written hundreds of years apart and in very different circumstances. Yet they overflow with the love and excitement and authority of God for his people and his world. We have God yomping across hillsides, gathering together his sheep with no care for social or religious norms, simply wanting to gather, protect, and love his flock and ensure that they are provided for forever. In Ephesians, we have this astonishing prayer and statement from Paul about Jesus and the church becoming the fulfillment of God's plan for his flock, and how Jesus has been placed in authority over everything, so that there can be no doubt that God's loving plan will be brought to completion, and that by an apparently ordinary man, born in a stable to a peasant family, brutally murdered by religious and civic authorities, but raised to life by God to show us that the door is now always open to knowing the hope, love, and fulfillment of a relationship with God now and always. Now, is that exciting enough? Does that make you want to read these passages again and spend time with them in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Because what you remember of today's talk is a lot less important than an increased desire to keep returning to God's word for another taste of honey. Amen. We just pray together for a moment, and then we shall sing. Heavenly Father, our shepherd and our king, whose words are honey to our lips. Lord, we pray this morning that you would fill us with that sense of excitement, of eagerness to read, to listen, to engage with your words. And Lord, even through the hard bits, to listen and to remember that this whole book is a love letter from you to us, sharing all that you have done and all that you have promised for us. Amen.
This is a much loved song to many of us, and I think it's full of the wonder of knowing Jesus and serving him.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the church's year, we give thanks for all that you have done in and amongst us over the last 12 months. We thank you for the fellowship of this congregation, even though the way we are able to connect has changed so dramatically. We thank you for all those who have worked so tirelessly to serve you here through both our interregnum and now with the constraints of lockdown. We give thanks for Mark and Ali for bringing them to be with us here in Broadbridge Heath and for the many gifts and blessings they have shared with us already. As we've been reminded by Paul, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. As we look forward to the next year of our journey as your church here on earth, help us to be your body, knowing that as we serve one another, we may meet you in the most unexpected places. If we walk too slowly, give us courage and a nudge in the right direction. If we run too fast, slow us down and give us wisdom to ponder our next steps. If things take time, help us to hold on to hope. If solutions are slow to emerge, may we stay strong in faith. Give us patience and forbearance to wait for the ripening of your fruit in due season. We pray for the church throughout the world. Forgive us for the divisions that separate us, and heal the wounds those divisions have caused. Unite us and strengthen us as your body. We particularly pray for the Mande family in Uganda this week, for Rachel and Eric, and for their lovely family, Joseph, Lydia, Isaac, Elisha, and Abigail. We thank you for their witness and truly servant hearts. We're also thankful and pray for the family who will be blessed with a new latrine built with funds which we sent to them recently. We've been asked particularly to pray for Rachel. She has not been well for a few weeks now, and yesterday received the diagnosis that she has malaria. We pray for the doctors and nurses who will be treating her, Lord, and we do pray for her complete healing. We pray for Eric and the family as they are maybe without her for a time, and just pray that you will bless each one of them. They've also asked for us to pray for stability in Uganda as they prepare for elections early in the new year. We also pray for our country, Lord, and for all those in positions of authority. We pray that they will seek your wisdom in humility and in all the decisions that they make, and help us to stand alongside them in prayer each and every day. As the Sovereign Lord says, I will shepherd the flock with justice. We pray for our community here in Bourbage Heath and in Horsham. We thank you for the opportunities that the coming season of Advent will bring for us to serve and reach out to these communities and to our neighbours around us. We pray for all those involved in the planning and preparation for the events and activities, both here in the church building and in our wider community. This month, we pray for the residents of Scholars Walk, Longhurst Avenue, Highwood Crescent, Farriers Walk, Arundale Walk, The Boulevard, Gatehouse Mews, and Highwood Mill. As the Sovereign Lord says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will search for my sheep and look after them. Help us to respond to your prompting, Lord, as we play our part in your plan for this world. We pray for our family and friends, whether near or far, whether we're able to meet them in person or just with the help of technology. We pray for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Help us to say those things and perform those actions which will help them to be open to your healing love. In a moment of quiet, we bring before the Lord those who are on our hearts this morning. As the Sovereign Lord says, I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will rescue them. I will tend them. I will make them lie down and rest. We thank you, Lord, for the witness and encouragement of those who have gone before us, and pray particularly for those who we know who have lost someone close to them recently. As Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Heavenly Father, you have rescued us from the power of darkness. Help us to walk in this world as citizens of your kingdom of light, where Christ reigns as King in glory forever and ever. Amen.
Shall we join together in saying the words of this prayer? Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet. Amen.
So a lovely old-fashioned setting of Psalm 23 now, the King of Love. Before I say a final blessing, I'd just like to thank everybody for making everything possible this morning. The techie team who are hiding at the back, who've done brilliantly, thank you. And Julia and Fiona and Rachel and all the musicians. So thank you, everybody, for today's service. I hope it's all been okay out there in Zoom territory. And I hope you have a really good week to come. So shall we just say this blessing? In fact, I'm going to say it because I forgot to put the words up. And then you can go off to breakout groups.
And note, it's early. How good are we? And it's not just because it's cold here. So, may God's blessing fill each one of us. May we know the light and warmth and love of his Spirit. May we walk with Jesus. And may we bless one another in all we do and say and think in this coming week. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Shepherd and our King. Amen.